Okay, so I wanted to talk to you about the real world Homecoming.
Before
we talk about Homecoming, did you ever watch The Real World previously?
Yeah. So this is a good question, because we're kind of I feel like the age, you know, being like a 31 and an almost 31-year-old, that when The Real World started, like, we were absolutely too young for it. Mm-hmm. But it was still really relevant when we were like at an age that would be really exciting. So like middle school, I think, in particular.
We like aged into the demographic.
Yeah, I think we aged into it for sure. And so, yes, I did watch some of The Real World. I remember my sister, I think, being more into it than me initially, because she's a little bit older. But yeah, I liked The Real World. I haven't seen every season, but I feel like they did some stuff that was like, it was like honestly like groundbreaking. Like, I have respect for The Real World. And also recently in Chicago, they turned like The Real World Chicago house into a Louis Vuitton pop-up temporarily.
Oh. So,
Laheim. That happened. It was painted like bright orange. And everybody was like, isn't that The Real World house? And it was like, yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. That's really funny. But I did not really watch it again, like, because I wasn't a cable kid. I think that like
right.
at a friend's house, I saw an episode here or there. But to your point about it being like really maybe kind of like cutting edge or like
they dealt
social
with some issues
that were forward.
Real.
I didn't remember that about it. Like, I didn't pick up on that, I think, because I didn't watch it enough. And so I always kind of thought that it was just like a precursor to Big Brother or like the surreal life, but not celebrities. Yeah, I just thought it was people getting fuck in a house.
You know, I think at some point, like later on, it maybe got a little bit more like that. And we like ended up with shows like The Jersey Shore,
sure.
No Shade Thrown, I Love Snooki. But I think that it became more of a thing, especially then as social media happened, that like you could get kind of like 15 minutes of fame. But from the beginning of it, you really, I think in the early seasons, feel like people are just trying to have an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that they are trying to like rage constantly. And in terms of like things that happened, like Karamo of Queer Eye fame was initially on The Real World.
Yep.
And like, give like a lot of interesting perspective for the time about his sexuality that like, you know, people hadn't really heard of. And also, I remember there was a guy, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Danny, it was like a cast member that people were like really about, but he dated, there was somebody who was gay who dated a guy who's also gay, but that guy was in the military, and it was very don't ask, don't tell era. And so they would blur this guy's face out.
Oh my God. Yes.
And I'm just
so
like,
I didn't
and they would talk about
that.
Dealing with that stuff. It was crazy. It was like, it
is
also
like
feels
real
like,
issues.
Yeah, for sure. Real issues. I mean, Thomas on our episode,
he talked about Pedro.
Exactly. And I was like, yeah, that was important.
That was important. So I didn't really, like, except for our conversation with Thomas about Pedro, I didn't clock that The Real World was like a show that was making us look at stuff like that. And did you see the first season ever? It was in 1992, so you'd have to see like a rerun.
I think I've probably seen snippets of it, but I'm sure if you like named cast members, I would be like, oh yeah, them. But I don't, it's not something that's like living in my memory.
Sure. But what's going on right now is they're taking the initial cast from the 1992 season one of The Real World.
So cool.
And putting them back in the same loft that they were in.
Wow.
In New York.
Can you imagine? Oh, I just got Christian music chills actually when you said that.
Yes.
Just think about going back to some part of your like
30
early
years
20s,
ago.
30 years later. Can you imagine?
It's
like if we
wild.
Like had to go live in your college house.
Jesus Christ.
When we were 50.
When we're 50.
Actually, I'm signing up for that. Whoever wants to fund that I want to live with you in the house that you lived in sophomore year of college because it was haunted as fuck.
Oh my God, that's right. But like The Real World cast, we would probably find that we would end up working through a lot of weird old issues that we didn't realize were unresolved.
Wow.
That's been interesting, all of them coming back together. But they're so
like interpersonal issues of like, we never resolved this fight kind of thing.
So that's kind of like what the producers are laying the groundwork for. And like, I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but like they very much all kind of are picking up where they left off. And some of them have kept in touch with each other over the years. And some of them have been really good friends all of this time. And
right. some of them haven't
seen each other since they were in the house. But the interesting thing about this group is like when they were filming, there was no reality TV yet. And so they.
And there was no Instagram.
No.
Let's also say that.
But they didn't know what reality TV was. And so they're like, there are all these videos of them in 1992 trying to explain. They're like, it's like kind of like a documentary. They're following us and making us a documentary about our lives, but it's like also a drama. And so there's like weirdness about
that. They don't have the vocabulary. That's cool. That's actually really cool.
It's really cool. Anyway, so there's one like just ridiculous thing that happens, and this is like not a spoiler. It happens like the first episode.
Okay.
There's this woman, Becky, who is a singer-songwriter, very 90s-esque. And now, of course, she's like 50 years old. When we come back into the loft, immediately.
She seems like she'd be into crystals. I'm rooting for it.
Immediately, I was just like, I don't like this woman. Like something feels weird. I don't just the way she talked about everything had just like a there was like a strange arrogance or like a wanting of attention. And
okay.
I was, you know, thinking that it would stay low level. But then there's a scene where they're all in the living room and out of nowhere, she starts talking about her recent like adventure with a Ouija board and. Tells the entire group while they're like incredulous and wanting her to stop that John Lennon contacted her via the Ouija board and that they made her most recent album together. She then produces the CD from her purse and passes it around and says that it was so important to them, them being her and John Lennon,
to make this
record.
I'm sorry. What?
So that's one of the many things you have to enjoy if you watch Real World Homecoming. But it's, you know, there's a lot more than that. And it just wrapped last week. So, you know, you'd have to download Paramount Plus. But there is a free trial and I'd highly recommend. This is not a commercial.
Okay. also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This? The weekly podcast where we're dissecting the real world this week on our FUPDATE edition, you know, just popping in on these special shorter little moments to tell you whatever we're noodling on at any given time. And that's Jamie Ryan in Los Angeles getting down and dirty with Paramount Plus, apparently.
And that's Austin Williams in Chicago, who I'm assuming has not yet used her 7-day free trial.
You know what? I haven't used it. I am an unwilling participant in this commercial that we're producing.
No, but I wanted to talk about the real world, not because of Becky's dalliance with John Lennon, although I just like, so that you can understand her character, I really wanted to tell you about that.
No, I mean, first when you said she was like into a Ouija board, I got excited.
So
like,
did I.
You know, I'm here for the Ouijas and the ghosts. I actually was recently telling someone the other day who I like would consider like a newer homie that I was like, yeah, I just like, I with reckless abandon. And then I was like, either this person's going to be down for me or not. And I just went, well, I just said, I went, I well, I really believe in ghosts. I was like I'm very passionate about it.
I'm extremely passionate about ghosts.
I kind of am though. And then I just started thinking about all these encounters I've had with the ghosts, you know. I just, listen, guys, I really believe in ghosts. I don't know what I think about an afterlife, but like the spirits be talking to me. I'm out here calling all ancestors, but
they
like, calling all angels, but they're not angels. They're just my ancestors. Anyway.
Anyway, listen, I wanted to talk about the real
world.
We're
not here to talk about ghosts.
Austin's real world of live ghosts. But I guess they wouldn't be live. Anyway, because, the real world recently
You're
has gotten
alive
me
to me, Jamie.
Thank you. Has gotten me thinking about today's topic because of the 30-year throwback. Like they did the first season in 1992, and now it's almost 30 years later.
Right.
And they're talking about like these same old issues, and they're like closing a chapter, and it feels like like there's so much closure for a lot of them, like on these mm-hmm. things that happened 30 years ago and like yeah. events happening now that are similar to what happened 30 years ago. For example, like Rodney King stuff and the LA riots in the 90s and like BLM now.
Right.
And so a lot of their conversations.
That's a lot of mirroring.
There's a lot of mirroring and there's a lot of conversations that I'm getting chills thinking about it.
Wow.
Ooh. And it just got me thinking about, because I'm astrologically minded, although not very
and
educated.
And you're a numerologist, and this is kind of numerology to me.
I like to count stuff.
Yeah, Jamie loves Fibonacci. Go on.
I have been talking about Fibonacci numbers so much this week. My girlfriend is like so over it.
This is so funny because you've been talking about Fibonacci numbers, and this is not hyperbolic. Jamie has been aggressively talking to me about Fibonacci numbers since we were in like 4th/5th grade.
Correct.
Jamie's like, well, you understand Fibonacci, right? And I'm like, we've been doing this since we were 11.
Listen, guys, I was trying to predict the future by way of this series of numbers, and I don't think it's totally out of the question. Anyway.
I don't think it's out of the question. I love this. Okay.
So all of that got me thinking about Saturn returns because of the roughly 30-year increment stuff. And then, of course, I'm spiraling about my own life because, like, I just turned 31, and so I'm, like, in this kind of same chapter. But I don't know very much about Saturn returns, and I think you do a lot more astrology in your personal life than I do.
I'm someone in the way, and I also said, you know how like millennials, like the joke is like we're all out here just being like, well, my therapist said.
Yeah.
And I do say that I'll be like, well, my therapist said, but Jamie can attest that I also often say, well, my astrologer said.
I'm gonna say I hear that twice a week. From you.
I mean, look, I am not gonna pretend I don't have an astrologer. She's also a friend. Okay.
A friend and a confidant.
A friend and a confidant. And I would say that she gives me permission. So there you go. That's how I feel when I talk to her. I feel like I've been given permission. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's amazing.
But listen, if you want an astrologer recommendation, you know, slide into my DMs. I'll yell about her. She's the best. She does stuff remotely online. Anyway,
this isn't a commercial, but yes,
this isn't a commercial for my astrologer or for Paramount Plus. So let me tell you what a Saturn return is.
Thank you.
Okay. So yes, this is something I've talked about and honestly find to be super interesting, especially because if you are flirting with like late 20s to like 30-ish years of age, you've really just kind of been through it. Mm-hmm. So what is through it? Let's talk about it.
Yes.
So in horoscopic astrology, a Saturn return is an astrological transit that occurs when the planet Saturn returns to the same place in the sky that it occupied at the moment of a person's birth.
Ooh,
you with me?
Yeah.
So every 28 to 30 years, Saturn returns to the same position that this planet was in when you were born. And the kind of thought behind that is that it ushers you into a little bit of like a new era of your life. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's through tough but critical lessons, according to folks like myself who, you know, ascribe to this or talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. So in that kind of context, you know, the planet may not reach the exact spot that it was when you were born until you're like 29 or 30, but the influence of the Saturn return is considered to start a lot of times in a person's late 20s, notably around the age of, and you'll love this, 27.
Seems right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So psychologically, the first Saturn return for a lot of folks is kind of seen as the time that someone reaches full adulthood.
And yeah, I did some really tough maturing between 27 and 30.
Oh, I don't know anyone who hasn't, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And it's a time that maybe you are to that point, like being faced with perhaps for the first time, some like serious adult challenges or responsibilities. It's also, you know, through conversations with astrologers.
Sure.
It's also a time that a lot of people say, like, you may feel like you are repeating some patterns because maybe there was like a lesson that you were supposed to learn that it was unresolved. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't get to where you needed to be. And a lot of times in a return, some of that will come back up that you feel like, why am I grinding my gears? Or like, why am I here again? And it's like, no, because maybe you missed the takeaway, bitch. So And generally in astrology, Saturn rules maturity.
Right.
So if you're someone who's digging into your Saturn return, or like you're working with an astrologer and you're doing like a Saturn return reading, mm-hmm. perhaps just like all about what's going on there, a lot of the ways, like what you'll be unpacking are, you know, ways in which maybe Saturn is like pushing you to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I think a lot of this is like, I think Saturn returns feel to me like kind of exciting.
I agree. I think it's incredibly exciting. I feel that mine was, while incredibly difficult, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like I learned to like stay focused on stuff. And honestly, like I can't believe I waited this long to mention this, but part of why I wanted to maybe do this as a topic aside from the real world is because if I look at my own life and I looked up like when my Saturn return was, like on a calculator, and
right.
when we started this podcast was like when it was starting. And I felt that this was really like the first project in my life that I was able to like sit still and like have follow through. And that was really hard. But like, because I had you for accountability, I felt like I made it happen. But also, I guess Saturn was pushing real hard. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like I associate.
That makes me feel very like, I never thought about this project. Guys, we're having a real meta moment where we're talking about the show on the show and it's whatever. But I'm like, no, I never thought about this being something that was like kind of in some ways like syncing up with like,
and we're childhood Saturn friends. Juju.
Yeah, my like bestie of, you know, 2+ decades. Yeah, I like that. That makes me feel good.
Yeah. Good. No, it should. Me too. But I feel like I've experienced a lot of growth like through this podcast and but like also in this time in my life. And then it makes me curious about like, doesn't it happen again when you're like 60? Because it's every 30 years. Yeah, absolutely. Years.
It's every 30 years. And so, I mean, if you think about two kind of, I don't know, maybe like you have parents who are like in that age range or something, and you've like watched shifts like that happen, or you have
midlife
friends
crises.
Who are, yeah, totally. I mean, it is something that happens, you know, 2, maybe 3 times in your life if you're lucky.
Maybe revisiting an old flame from your late 20s.
We can't know.
You're
we can't know about your
60-year-old divorcee.
Okay.
I don't know. Hey-o. I don't know. I don't know what your second return looks like. Yeah.
Certainly don't know you. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. No, but I think there's a lot here. And like to that point, like when people talk about like your Saturn return, mm-hmm. I think specifically that we typically are talking about the first time that it happens, because it's this kind of like, again, coming to adulthood, like reaching full maturity. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, not like you have no maturing left to do, but kind of just like this.
It's
know.
A coming of age, but later a little bit.
Yeah. No, 100% a coming of age, 100%. And so I think that's what usually people are referencing. But yeah, it does happen again. And I, you know, the feelings of, you know, maybe circling back on some lessons or growth are like very much there.
Mm. So like all of that brings me back to wanting to talk about the real world. And
okay, I love this. I love that we're talking about the real world and Saturn return. And also, like, I just want to say, what a blessing that they chose 30 years for
I know.
Us, you know?
It's just right. And it's
the Saturn return of the show.
It's the Saturn return of the show. And also, if you look at world events, which is what they talk about a lot, the cultural climate right now is not so different from what it was in 1992, shifting from like a conservative White House to a liberal White House.
Right.
And like racial tensions and just like women
protesting.
Yeah. So many things. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But specifically, the unfinished business stuff is making me think of the real world, because they're picking up 30-year-old conversations.
Wow.
Specifically between the aforementioned Becky, who released that album with John Lennon.
I'm only going to refer to her now as, you know, Becky, who released the album with John Lennon. People who are like Beatles fans are going to be like, excuse me, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the weirdest move to like show them her album by talking about that. Anyway, so the bulk of the conversation is really between like Becky and Kevin, but also Kevin and Julie. And I would like
Julie's name I remember.
Yes, and I will tell you about them in a second. I want to read some of an LA Times article from earlier this week because I just feel like it explains it like a little better than I could. And yeah,
totally.
They did an interview with Kevin Powell, who most of these conversations are centered around in this article. And so they tell us, in 1992, as an uprising broke out across LA in the wake of the Rodney King trial, Kevin right. Powell, a 25-year-old writer and teacher, got into a heated fight with Julie Gentry, a 19-year-old white woman from Alabama on the streets of Soho. Documented in the first season of The Real World, their argument about racism and white privilege became an iconic moment in the history of reality TV. This is the first time that we've really seen like a conversation like about racism on television that is real between a black man and a white
right,
woman.
Right, not scripted.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Not like written by white writers. And
yeah.
Throughout the season, Kevin Powell, the only black man in the loft on the show, spoke passionately about the discrimination he faced daily and challenged his fellow cast members on their naivete. Yeah. Some of his roommates and many viewers accused him of being overly confrontational, but viewed in 2021, Powell's words seem just like exactly on point. Like if you watch right. back and like the clips that they play, like everything he is saying is right and no one is ready to listen.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, it doesn't make it right, but I think a lot of people still aren't ready, right? Like in 2021 mm-hmm. to fuck with some hard truths and pieces
or
of reality.
Just
but in 92, I think even more. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, in 1992, absolutely not. And we see a change in, so is it, history repeats itself this year when seven strangers return to their original loft for The Real World homecoming. And what happens is they play back some footage of Kevin and Julie getting into an argument over racism on the streets. And she, in the 1992 footage, is saying just like that he's like out of control and he like is too angry and just like really like invalidating everything that he's saying. And he has like no one is like backing him up. It's very frustrating. Anyway, in the now footage, they are all sitting in a circle in the living room of the loft and they start having a conversation about that footage. And Julia apologizes and says that like she's learned a lot of things and that she's really like didn't have any idea what she was talking about at that time. And like let Kevin like say how that made him feel. And it was like Kevin and Julia were able to like really listen to each other and like come to an understanding and like Julie like really shut up. And that was like really great. But then after that healing moment, we pivot to some more footage of an argument between Becky, the John Lennon lady.
co-author. I don't know. Go on.
We cut to some footage of Becky arguing with Kevin over basically like
present day or previous day
in 1992. And it's okay. an iconic argument between them where she is basically saying that like he doesn't know how hard it is to be a woman. And they are actively watching the Rodney King and the LA riots footage in the loft. And that's what sparks this argument. And he's talking about like how he feels scared, like walking on the streets and like that, like no one understands like how he gets pulled over, how he's harassed. Like nobody sees that. And she will not listen, keeps talking over him and saying like that he doesn't know her experience. And then they cut to present day in the loft. And the same conversation happens and Becky will not listen and she keeps talking over him.
Oh, Becky.
And it spirals into her saying that she's been to African dance classes and
oh God, John Lennon does not approve, Becky.
It's
I can tell
really
you this right now. I don't actually know, but you know.
And so like this isn't even a spoiler because this happens like almost immediately.
Right.
But eventually like Becky leaves the loft. She's like super rude to everyone.
Wait, she like leaves the show.
She leaves the show. And then like the next day.
Sounds like, honestly.
Then she's like trying to like chat up specific like other members of the cast like, to like create an ally. Yeah. And they like won't do it. And so she refuses to come back to the loft because like Kevin's basically like, I would love to have a conversation, but I need you to listen. And he does like an individual Skype with her where she once again yells over him and says that she refuses to be the poster child for white privilege. And he just puts his head in his hands and is like, Becky, I will not be speaking to you anymore. and that's, that's a wrap on that. But, it has been fascinating to watch. And I would like for everyone to watch it of like all generations, because I feel like there's some really amazing conversations just around like white people's reaction to BLM and Rodney King in the 90s and like the progress that's been made, but like the ways that like people just still won't listen. And the LA Times.
And actually, it sounds like in a powerful way, without having seen this footage yet myself, it sounds like there's actually some power in the way that they produced it or showed these two conversations. Not that it's like in a, like a clear cut, like this is what to do and this is what not to do.
No.
But I think there's value in, you know, sometimes we just see like something go terribly wrong in an isolated way. And then we just also see somebody like it be a more productive, positive conversation. But I think there's actually a lot of probably value to seeing those things almost side by side.
I absolutely think that there is. And that's why it made me think of Saturn Return stuff. And Kevin says in this LA Times interview, I think this reunion actually helped us be at peace with all of this because we realize how much it has impacted so many people and caused so many conversations to happen in our country, not just about racism, but a whole range of things. And he says, my mind immediately flashed back to 1992 because when we shot from February to early May, the LA riots were happening in response to the Rodney King verdict. And we were actually watching it in the loft as it unfolded. And so for them to come back now, he says, during the post-Trump presidency, like the presidency aftermath, COVID, Me Too, Black Lives Matter, and insurrection, he says, you couldn't ask for six more important episodes of TV right now. And this is not an ad for The Real World, but I just thought
It might be. A commercial for The Real World.
It was such a cool, like, closing of a or not closing, but like maybe an update or like some closure. Yeah. And there was an opportunity to fix these old issues. Like you said, there's like Saturn pressure on like maybe some lessons that weren't learned 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And for some people, those lessons were still not learned. And for others, there's understanding gained.
I like that. I'm excited. This really makes me want to watch it. It actually makes me want to, I almost feel really compelled to be like, let me see where I can stream like the 1992 season.
It's also on Paramount. And I think it's a 30-day free trial,
guys,
not seven.
Paramount Plus, everyone.
I can just give you my login.
Jamie will give you her password on. I'm very intrigued by this. And like, I don't know. I think maybe from our conversation with Thomas and talking about Pedro. And then I think because everybody is like binge watched so much during like COVID that people, there's been a lot of chatter, at least I think in some of my friend circles, about revisiting like maybe series that were popular. So I know people who are like, I'm rewatched Sex and the City or like Gossip Girl, these things that have like nostalgia. But then there are people who are like, I'm going back and getting into a reality show I never watched. One of which I think a lot of people have been drawn to is Survivor.
Oh, I've been going through Survivor also.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about how good I would be at that show. Anyway, it's not important.
I actually would. I could see it. I really could.
Thank you.
In the way that you have cult leader vibes to you. Yeah, you'll do anything. That I just think you'd be good.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I think there have been some people in my sphere even before this reboot who have been like, maybe I'm going to rewatch The Real World.
Yeah.
Because I think people are, it's almost like it's been such a weird fucking year. Binging, you know, television and movies has become even more normalized than it was, you know, a year ago. And I think there's also some thirst for things that feel like comfort shows in some ways, like the way that people watch Friends or like The Office, that it's like you just like it's shows that are beloved, Seinfeld, just like things people love and return to.
I think we're
a generation that I think actually has a lot of interesting nostalgia for reality television in a way that like maybe we never have before, but
we're probably the oldest people to have nostalgia for that.
Right. And I think that's the thing that's interesting is because it's like I know people watching old episodes of The Bachelor right now because it's almost fun to like
the old hairstyles. It's become something. And
yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like hello.
The waterline eyeliner.
Literally. Wow. But there's something to this because like it's I think about old episodes of The Bachelor and ABC even played a bunch of them, did like the you know greatest seasons of all time or whatever. But it's stuff at the beginning of reality TV that was conceived before, you know, everybody was trying to sell like, you know, diet teas on Instagram afterwards. And so there's this beautiful like naivete or like purity to things that actually has me very interested in being like, yeah, like you talking about how they were like, we don't even like, it's like a documentary.
I think
like,
I am going to watch the first season after watching this the Homecoming. Yeah, this is
making me super curious. And I do remember like a lot of people have like real conversations on The Real World. Well, and
that's what I've been thinking as you're listing all these things that people are kind of nostalgically watching. I have definitely had conversations with like friends and coworkers about rewatches of stuff where you're kind of surprised that it doesn't really hold up. And the thing about The Real World is it, of course, it's somewhat skewed because like production's going to put their own like thoughts into the editing. It's a pretty good, I think, snapshot of just real people's reactions and conversations with each other. And in that way, even though like the 1992 footage, like I'm cringing for Julie and Becky, but it holds up as footage because it's a really raw, very real conversation between two people about like intense stuff that's going on. And it's not colored in any way. There's editing coloring, but it's really minimal. Yeah. So I'm excited to potentially work my way through some of those.
Yeah, that actually, I like this because it is this idea of things as like a touch of a time capsule almost, you know? And just to your point, it doesn't mean that like, I mean, certainly the fashion won't hold up, but it doesn't mean that the conversations necessarily are things that we have to be like, here, like, this was good, but it's like, no, but this is a good representation of
how people spoke to each other about these things at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
very cool. Of the stance of a lot of certain white Americans at the time in this 1992 footage.
And it actually makes me really happy for both Julie and Becky CEO John Lennon. Even though like Becky seems like, I don't know, the growth maybe was
she's really lacking. Immature. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real bummer. But I think on some level, I'm like, wow, what a cool opportunity to get to talk to someone again that you disagreed with, because I think everybody has people in their life that you were like, fuck this person and fuck this situation. And then it wouldn't even be like, maybe you could have revisited things to be like cordial with each other, like a couple weeks later or whenever it was. But I think sometimes like years in your life pass and you have different experiences. And then you think back like, oh, remember that thing I did 7 years ago? I was like really wrong. And I just think like, what a privilege and an opportunity to actually get to be able to circle back with that person that you were like, I just actually could talk to you again. Because then to this point, it sounds like Julie listened, and to like have the opportunity to actually listen to someone again. What a privilege.
Absolutely.
You know?
And they are so, with the exception of Becky, they are so open and loving with each other. It's very good. It's very good.
That's cool. Wow, that makes me feel good. I mean, that's the kind of shit I want to watch. It sounds like I would cringe through some of 92, but like that could be positive. And then to have, I don't know, like the Circle of Life Lion King moment of being like, hey, and here we get to watch people, like, I don't know, like come back
people
around
learn
and have
a
more 30-year-old space
lesson
for each other.
And yes, that. And it's like, the 1992 footage is because we were babies at the time, since this is like our first Saturn return. It's like watching the 1992 footage, I'm like, oh, that's like the world that I came into. And it's just interesting to think about.
Oh, wow. And what a thing to think about. Because, yeah, I mean, for us in 92, we were like one or two years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on when in the year for some of us. Sure. But, yeah, that's right. That's an interesting thing to think about, that I think is kind of an interesting thing of like your late 20s, early 30s, if you feel like there's some mirroring to say like, huh, like this is what was happening in the world when I was born. Like this was what I was like born into.
And that's how Nostradamus made all his predictions.
Remember Nostradamus.
Yeah, he would look at patterns when the sky was like a replica of itself at another time and events would repeat.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I love this. Astrology, the real world, Nostradamus. You heard it here first.
Yeah. It's April. You guys are fucking listening to us talk about the real world. It's
sexual
a good month.
Energy. Honestly, it's a great month. Get laid. Watch the real world.
Seriously. In that order.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you watch The Real World this month or, you know, later, whatever, the DMs stay open.
They do.
And want to share some perspective, or if you have suggestions on, like, what other seasons of The Real World we should all be watching, because I'm here for that. Maybe this is my thing. You can, as always, get at us on the internet via email at whyyourlikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyourlikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And, you know, as always, we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yes, we will. Bye.
Bye.